I'm Kim Malcolm. You're listening to All Things Considered on KUOW. And this show will sound a little different beginning next week. A longtime host is leaving, and not just radio fans are noticing. He recently had his own category on Jeopardy.
Robert Siegel signs off. The longtime host of NPR's All Things Considered is stepping down this January.
Robert Siegel for 200.
All right, Mr. Siegel.
One memento I've kept is a framed chip of this. I was rushed to the scene in November 1989 to cover its stunning fall.
Lakhidra?
What is the Berlin Wall?
That's right.
Siegel for four.
Siegel for four from a
Siegel
contestant.
Siegel for four. If only my parents could still be around to have seen that that episode of Jeopardy. Yes.
Oh, well, yes. As Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy, mentioned, Robert Siegel is retiring after decades at the helm of NPR's All Things Considered. And we get to have him, perhaps not for four, maybe a few more minutes than that. Robert Siegel, thank
Hi.
You for joining us today.
I'm delighted to be here.
Well, besides being a pop culture juggernaut, you were also NPR's yeah. first journalist stationed overseas. They sent you to the UK in the late 70s. Now, our listeners might take our international coverage for granted these days, but tell us, how big a leap was that for the network back then?
It was a pretty big leap. I was sent to London because we were about to start a new program, Morning Edition, and it was reasoned that we would have to get a lot more international news coverage on it, and also the stories that we were getting sent to us every morning by a producer at the BBC External Services, they were almost guaranteed to have minimal interest in the United States. When I was based there, I realized that the time of day we were talking about was really prime time in Southeast Asia, so changes in the Filipino cabinet or in something happening in Jakarta were always leading the news that we would get, and it was almost guaranteed to be the least interesting news for us. But that was my mission, and I was supposed to also recruit some stringers and edit people and become a reporter. But I was the first.
Is it possible for you to put a figure on how many people you think you've interviewed over the years?
It's probably impossible. I have no idea. It's been
more than 12.
More than a dozen, and more than 1,000 for sure.
Can you recall an interview that just got away from you, just went completely off the rails?
One was trying to interview Mel Brooks about the music he'd written for the producers, and which he just, everything I said, he said, he interrupted and said, Siegel, play the music, just play the music. And he said, when does this show go on the air again? I said, whatever it was, 4 or 5 o'clock in the East. He said, yes, I think that by that time the Tony jurors should be waking up from their cosmopolitan drunken stupor the night before, and they'll hear the music, and they'll vote me a Tony. So just play the music.
Tony,
and he did this
Tony,
over.
Tony, Tony.
Yeah. And he sent me a very nice poster, which is hanging in my house, that says, sorry about Siegel! Exclamation point.
Well, turning to something perhaps slightly more serious now, we are living in a challenging time in our country, and the president calls what we do as journalists, he calls it fake news from time to time. Yeah. How concerned are you about the future of a free press here and its ability to hold the powerful to account?
I honestly can't say that I'm that worried about the future. I think that, to be honest, we've been, as a group, journalists have been unpopular before Donald Trump. And actually, although he has, I think, very unfortunately become a leader for the attitude that journalists are all a bunch of fakes and liars and that they're all in league together, so far he hasn't actually done something that I can think of to the media that compares with several things that, say, Richard Nixon did to the media, which included structural dismantling of public television. It included subjecting man who became a role model and later a friend and colleague, Dan Shore, subjecting him to an FBI investigation.
That's right.
We haven't seen anything, no actions yet, but I think the media will still be here and will still be vibrant after this particular part of our political history is passed.
There's a pretty strong demand for news right now, given our current climate. I'm wondering, did you have a moment as you were considering retirement leading up to this time where you thought maybe now is not the best time to leave?
There comes a point, I think, when I wouldn't be able to stop doing it. There comes a point when if if I were into my 80s doing this, I think I wouldn't know how to live without doing it. I'm pushing 71, and I feel young and healthy enough to be able to live differently right now and enjoy it with my wife and my family and my grandchildren. And yes, there have been many stories that I can imagine wanting to stay on to do and to see through. I have great colleagues, and they will be absolutely fine in dealing with those stories without me.
Well, Mr. Siegel, allow me just quickly to say on behalf of our listeners, thank you so much for the time you've spent with us. Me personally, I would just like to say thank you. I immigrated to this country about 20 years ago, and yours was one of the voices that helped me understand this place where I was living. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And to the listeners also, thank you. This is a unique system, and by supporting KUOW, you also are supporting NPR. So we appreciate that here. Thank you, Kim.
Robert Siegel, host of All Things Considered, about to retire. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Robert Siegel's last day on air is this Friday. His first newscast at NPR was on Christmas Day, 1976. You can share your Robert Siegel memories with us on Facebook. Check out KUOW Public Radio.